Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Love is in the air today. Today's Bible lesson is the Lord's Supper. Valentine's Day and every day, know you are loved. Valentine's Day and every day, know that you are loved. Happy Valentine's Day. It's a day that coincides for us with the second Sunday of every month, the day we celebrate the Lord's Supper, which is a remembrance meal. We eat by breaking bread, we drink by tasting the fruit of the vine, and we look back to the cross, a defining moment during the earthly life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in fact, one of the defining moments of all creature history. Valentine's Day is a day for lovers. What a perfect day to celebrate the Lord's Supper, because the Lord's work on the cross through the shedding of blood for us was the greatest demonstration of love ever. He loved us, and he still does. John chapter 15, verse 12 says this, "This is my mandate." This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. "This is my mandate, that you love one another unconditionally, just as I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have loved you unconditionally." John 15, 13, "Greater unconditional love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." The Lord is asking us to follow his lead. And the way we know that the Lord loves us is because the greatest demonstration of love is to lay down your life for your friends, and that's exactly what he did. And you know what? That's the funny thing about unconditional love. Perhaps some of us would die for a friend. All those who sign up for military service agree to do just that. They agree to put their lives on the line for their friends. But the great thing about the Lord's unconditional love is that he puts his life on the line for those who are not his friends as well. Now that's what makes him amazing. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48 say this, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Matthew 5, 44, "But I say to you, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Matthew 5, 45, "So that you may be sons of your God, the Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He does not discriminate. God is not a God of partiality." Matthew 5, 46, "For if you love those who love you," and by the way, you do, that's exactly how you handle life, "what reward do you have? Do not even the lowest of low, the tax collectors, do exactly the same?" Matthew 5, 47, "If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same?" That's a reference to unbelievers. Matthew 5, 48, "Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And that perfection that is being discussed there is loving your enemies unconditionally as well. See, we are perfect when we love as the Lord loves, because that's what the Lord did. He actually did die for all. And the Lord asks us to have the same attitude that he did, the same willingness to lay down our lives for each other. Why? Well, because that's real love. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 say this, "You believers in Christ, we're not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, which you inherited from your forefathers." In other words, you were not bought with money. 1 Peter 1:18, "You believers in Christ were redeemed with precious blood." Death, that's a whole different ballgame, isn't it? "As of the blood of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." Your salvation was purchased at a higher cost than money, with the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you think of all the pretender gods the icons of all the religions for all time, you have to ask yourself if you saw them do the same thing. Did they lay down their lives for their friends? And after they died, were they resurrected from the dead? Because really, there's only been one person resurrected from the dead, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord invites us to put aside the futility of our lives as unbelievers and to take on a lifestyle of love, unconditional love. Welcome to a place where you can learn to love, real love, a place where you can realize that you are loved by God, a place to get the kind of love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for you. Unconditional love, a love with no conditions, a love that expects nothing in return, a love that gives everything, a sacrificial love that's absolutely amazing. Love is in the air. Happy Valentine's Day. And to start off our worship today, we're going to hear a song that is written and performed by June Murphy. And as we listen to the song, we need to notice that it is sung to you from the Lord Jesus Christ's perspective. And the song is called When I Say I Love You.
I am the Lord your God, and I love you so much that I lay down my life. My love, you will always be precious to me. I will never put you away or push you aside. There is nothing good or bad about you that would make a difference in what I have to say. My death has made a way for you to be perfect in my eyes. So no matter what, I'm gonna love you. does not seek its own. Love rejoices in truth, not in unrighteousness. It bears and hopes all things. It believes it endures. It prevails. This kind of love never fails. This is what I say when I say
ever written by anyone, anywhere, at any time in the history of mankind. Excellent song. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, we thank you for loving us. When we come into your presence in prayer, we come with an awareness of our human frailties, and yet we are completely overwhelmed by your unconditional love for us. You see the depths of our flaws and failures, and you love us the same, as the song puts it. Thank you that there is no suffering gauntlet we will walk through in this life where your love cannot reach us. When we scale the highest mountain of success in this life, you are there. And when we find ourselves in the darkest valleys of our lives, you are even more present, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Teach us today to love you in return by demonstrating obedience to you and to your word. Help us to rest in your unconditional love that asks nothing more from us than a trusting heart, a heart of faith, the heart of a child. Guide us to not overlook your intricate plan just because it is so simple. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's lesson, the Lord's Supper, Valentine's Day and every day, know that you are loved. So let's begin the lesson by taking the offering. One of the truest forms of unconditional love is to make an offering to God from your first fruits, an offering for the benefit of others, to open your wallets, even when it hurts, so that others can have a taste of the Word of God free of charge. Join me in welcoming up Deacon Denny Goodall, who will pass along our offering message.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. And there are so many verses in the Bible to be encouraged by, and they're just endless. But there's certain verses that when I heard them, I would just tune out. And that's a lot of the verses that would be applied to women or brides. But that was until last week. And Pastor said, as brides, we're being groomed. So that means that everybody that's a believer is actually a bride. So any verse that applies to brides or women and how they should treat their husband, that's Christians how they should treat their Christ. And so after last week, I cross-referenced some of the verses and was looking for something different, something outside of my normal realm to use, namely the Old Testament. So I shot Pastor a verse, Genesis chapter 34, verse 12. Ask me ever so much bridal payment and gift, and I will give according as you say to me. But give me the girl in marriage. This young man was saying, name your price and I will pay it. Me and my people will do whatever we have to do to get that money. And I thought, wow, that's crazy. That's how the Lord is. He said, name the price and I'll do whatever I have to do to save every last one of you. Just say yes that you believe in me. And that's amazing. But I thought, as a bride of Christ, what does a husband do for his bride? He opens the door. So God opens our doors for us. He pays for dinner. He pays for our dinners. He feeds us. He clothes us. He provides for our needs. It's amazing what we get just being a bride in Christ. And so, I thought I better go back to this verse and do a little more reading and see the context. And I found out it's really actually a story about a horrible guy. He was a jerk. He basically sexually assaulted this young lady and would do whatever he had to do in order to have her hand in marriage. So much so that he agreed to have circumcision done to him and his people. And once that had been done, on the third day when they're riling in pain, all the men of the society, the brothers and uncles of the woman who was accosted came and slain every man and every not every person, but every man that was in that, that was involved with it. Looted all their people, looted, took the women and children, took everything. I'm thinking, man, that's a horrible verse to use. Why did I even pick that? How am I going to weave this in? But then I thought, you know, that just shows what God does for his believers. He didn't let those guys get away with what they did to her. He came and made what was right, or made what was wrong right. They didn't get away with their crime, and that's how God is. He doesn't let people get away with things that are treating you badly. You don't have to take care of it. He'll take care of it. No matter what it is, whether it's finances or persecution or health issues or anything, he's going to take care of it. And that's what he does, you know. This isn't God speaking in this verse, but I'd like to think it is. Name your price and I'll pay it. And he's done that for every one of us. And so that's why we give every week, is to thank him and worship in that way, by giving of our time, our talent, and our treasure in any way that we can. And not because you feel like you have to, but just because you want to. It's not a job. It's not a law. There's no power in the law here. The power is grace. And so we really thank you for your consistent giving. Hit it, Mike.
Yeah, when Deacon Denny sent that verse over, I sent him a note. Where in the hell are you going with this one, buddy? Cannot wait. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord's Supper, Valentine's Day and every day. Know that you are loved. Love is in the air. And why is that? It's because God loves you. How does God love? Unconditionally, with no conditions. Romans chapter 5. Verse 8 says this: God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward all mankind, in that while we were yet sinners, even as unbelievers, Christ died instead of us. That's amazing. That's something that not many of us would do. Theologian and philosopher Aurelius Augustine says this: God loves each one of us as if there were only one of us. In other words, the Lord would have paid that price if it was just you that he needed to go to the cross for. John chapter 3, verse 16. God the Father loved the world unconditionally, and he loved us so much that he gave his uniquely born son, the the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but instead shall have eternal life, the resurrection life. We can never be separated either from that unconditional love that God has for us. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and 36. Who will separate us from the unconditional love of Christ? Will tribulation? No. Or distress? No. Or persecution? No. Or famine? No. Or nakedness? No. Or peril? No. Or will the sword separate us? No. Romans 8, 36. Just as it is written, for your sake, we, and that's a reference to pastors, are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. In other words, the worst people always get put up front. We're put up front, we do things, and then get slaughtered for it, and then we come back and tell you all about it. So just as the Apostle Paul did, we walk through the gauntlet of suffering in this life as pastors. And as Christians, Romans chapter 8, verses 37 to 39. But in all these tribulations, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us unconditionally. Romans 8, 38. For I am convinced, this is Paul, I am convinced, this is the conclusion of Romans chapter 8 that we will be studying very shortly. I am convinced that neither physical death nor anything in life, not angels, not principalities, not things present, not things in the future, not powers, not height, not depth, nor any created thing, not height, no matter how big it gets, no matter how big it gets or how deep it gets, nor any created thing, any creature, will ever be able to separate us believers in Christ from the unconditional love of God the Father, which comes from being placed in union with Christ Jesus our Lord through the baptism of God the Holy Spirit. That's amazing. There's nothing that can separate us from God. British preacher Charles Spurgeon says this, "When the time comes for you to die, you need not be afraid, because not even death can separate you from God's love." 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, divinely loved ones, that was one of John's favorite words. Beloved, let us love one another unconditionally. For unconditional love is from God the Father. And everyone who loves unconditionally is a born-again one of God the Father. And everyone who loves unconditionally knows God the Father. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. The one who does not love unconditionally, that's unbelievers, does not know God the Father, for God the Father is unconditional love in his very person. For God, love is not an action. It's a way of being. It is his very person. Now, what does unconditional love look like? You've heard this a million times. But we always hear it at weddings when everybody's in the goo-goo gaga stage of romantic love, and we think it's just, oh my goodness, isn't it so sweet? Oh, love is in the air, wedding crashers. Oh, yes, right? But listen to it with the emphasis on the right syllable. Listen to it with the emphasis on unconditional love, which is just what this is. And it's amazing to me that God has somehow always worked this passage into wedding ceremonies so that the people who are getting married know that it is not romantic love that will sustain them, but it is this kind of love that sustains a marriage. This is the only love that could ever possibly sustain two human beings being together. Here's what it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, in other words, if I am amazingly eloquent, but do not have unconditional love, my eloquence makes me a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I sound like music out of tune. 1 Corinthians 13, 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can predict the future, if I know all the mysteries, if I have all knowledge, almost to the point of being omniscient, and if I have all knowledge, and if I have all faith, the kind of faith that could actually physically move a mountain, but do not have unconditional love, I am nothing. 1 Corinthians 13:3. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, I do all these philanthropic and noble things. And if I surrender my body to be burned, if I make myself a martyr, but do not have unconditional love, it profits me nothing. Here it is. Unconditional love is patient. Unconditional love is kind. And unconditional love is not jealous. Unconditional love does not brag. And unconditional love is not arrogant. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Unconditional love does not act unbecomingly. Unconditional love does not seek its own. Unconditional love is not provoked. Unconditional love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Is that how you are? When somebody wrongs you, do you not take it into account? When somebody provokes you, do you stay calm? 1 Corinthians 13:6. Unconditional love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but unconditional love rejoices with the truth. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Unconditional love bears all things. Unconditional love believes all things. Unconditional love hopes all things. Unconditional love endures all things. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Unconditional love never ends, never fails. Amazing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Now faith, hope, and love abide in the sphere of these three. Faith in God, hope for a phenomenal future, and unconditional love for all mankind abide in the sphere of these three. But the greatest of these three is unconditional love. I was at a friend's wedding once. His daughter was getting married, and they had their back to the audience, and the priest who was marrying them was facing us. And he said, "I just wish you could see their faces. I just wish you could see all the love they have for each other right this moment." And I'm looking out of the corner of my eye, and the father's kind of beaming. And I elbowed him. He looked over. I said, "Yeah, it's going to stay that way until she comes home one day and he's having sex with her best friend on the coffee table." And he had just kind of taken a sip of water and he just spit it out. You know, and I was making the point about unconditional love, inappropriately as always, which is my style.
Is that in the book?
What?
The book you're writing?
No, that story is not going to be in the book. But that's the truth, right? Because you can love somebody until they wrong you, until they do that thing which is absolutely reprehensible to you. And what do you like then? There's only one answer: unconditional love. There's only one answer: forgiveness. And if you're an unbeliever, you can't do that. You're never going to do that. If you're a believer in Christ, you can do it by invoking that love that is in you through the indwelling Trinity. You can do it that way. Otherwise, no. Well, love is in the air. And know this, that God loves you today and every day. All right, so let's enjoy the elements of the Lord's Supper. Following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember his work, the voluntary sacrifice that he made at the cross on our behalf as our substitute. And we are grateful for what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this: "I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me. When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this: in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after supper, representing his death on the cross, saying, "This cup is a new testament, forged with my blood. Keep on doing this celebration, and as often as you drink it, do it for the purpose of remembering me." So as you enjoy the bread and the cup, enjoy the memory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. Now and always, let's keep on giving thanks to God that we are loved by God, and let's enjoy that love day by day. And our Lord's Supper song is exactly that, day by day. Take a 5-minute break.
Can never tell. It goes beyond. star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned
Eros. Eros, we're back. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord's Supper, Valentine's Day and every day. Know that you are loved. We trust others when we know their motives. Well, I know God's motives, and his motive is love. God the Father demonstrates his unconditional love for us. God the Father answers every one of our prayers with the right answer. And sometimes when he answers the prayer, it is the physical death of a loved one. And, you know, we think, well, I think maybe he screwed up on that one. No, he didn't. God the Father gives us gifts of indescribable value, like the gift of God the Holy Spirit. Why does he do that? Because he loves us. Know that you are loved by God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 11 say this: the unconditional love of God was manifested in us, was made clearly visible in us. The God the Father has sent his uniquely born Son into the world so that we might live the resurrection life through believing in him. 1 John 4:10, in this sending of his Son is unconditional love. Not that we love God the Father unconditionally, but that he loved us unconditionally and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation. The only and perfectly satisfactory payment for our sins. There is nothing you could ever do to pay for your own sins. But the Lord paid for them all with his blood. 1 John 4:11, beloved. There's John using that term again. Divinely loved ones. If God the Father so loved us unconditionally, and he did, first class condition if in the Greek, we ought to also love one another unconditionally. The Lord Jesus Christ agreed to die instead of you. The Lord Jesus Christ agreed to die on a cross, which is the worst death in human history, crucifixion. The Lord Jesus Christ agreed to die for you when you were his enemy. The Lord Jesus Christ agreed to die for you when you were an unbeliever. The Lord Jesus Christ died voluntarily for you. So when we see him hanging from a cross, we don't go, oh, I can't believe. We don't have to get that way. He did that because he wanted to do it. The Lord Jesus Christ agreed to be humiliated by coming to earth to take on human form. I remember the first time I taught that the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth and tabernacled among us. And I stopped and said, you know what he did? He humiliated himself. One of the pastors I was working under said, don't ever say that again. I said, why is that? Well, it just doesn't sound good. Yeah, but it's the truth. For deity to take on human form, for deity to voluntarily suppress deity for the purpose of doing something for you, was a tremendous humiliation for him and a tremendous benefit for us. And then later when I was studying the Greek, that's exactly what's being communicated in the sentiment. The Lord Jesus Christ agreed to be humiliated by coming to earth to take on human form. And you might ask, why? Why? Because he wants a relationship with you. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17 says this, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, love unconditionally those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. God is not hiding from us, as those people I talked to this week were intimating. He's not hiding from us. Oh, the things about God, the mysteries you can never know. False. He's not hiding from us. Those who diligently seek him will find him. Why? Because he loves you. Know that you are loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives, indwelling me. And the resurrection life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me unconditionally, and who gave himself up instead of me. Now, if you look at that verse again and see what it really is saying, the I life, the self life, has been crucified with Christ. Therefore, it is dead for all believers in Christ. And it is no longer the I life that lives, but Christ lives indwelling us, along with the Father and along with the Holy Spirit. The entire Trinity indwells us in the church age. And the resurrection life, which I now live in the flesh, and we're still in this unredeemed body, the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me unconditionally and who gave himself up instead of me. And we can be so comfortable and so relaxed with that love. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. And for this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 say this, a new mandate I, the Lord Jesus Christ, give to you, that you love one another unconditionally, even as I have loved you unconditionally, that you also love one another unconditionally. Why? John 13, 35, because by this, you loving all unconditionally, all men will know that you are my disciples. You are my technical students if you have unconditional love for one another. Christian author Jerry Bridges comments on the Lord's unconditional love for us. He says, God's unfailing love for us is an objective fact affirmed over and over again in Scripture. And it's true whether you believe it or not. Our doubts do not destroy God's love, nor does our faith create it. God's love originates from his very nature because God is love. And his love flows to us through our union with God the Father's beloved Son. I said it before, but I'll say it again. John Wesley, the co-founder of the Methodist Church, says this: one of the greatest evidences of God's unconditional love to those that love him is to send them afflictions along with the grace to bear them. God's gauntlet of suffering is a demonstration of his love as well. God's love is, listen to this. That's how Charles Stanley always says it. Now listen. He's got that little southern accent. Now listen. He's always got his Bible open like this, kind of. Now listen. You want to hear about God's love? It is unconditional. It is perfect. It is forgiving. It is generous. It is eternal. It is personal. He never gives up on you. It is limitless. It is impartial. It is incomprehensible. It is healing, and it is protective. See, isn't that beautiful? Because you give up on yourself every day. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it. Oh, yeah, it's not going to work out for me. I can't possibly be the star of my own movie. Amen? I think you can. Debbie, do you think you can? I think you can. Debbie knows she can be. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19 say this: for this reason, I, Paul, bow my knees before the God the Father in prayer. Ephesians 3:15, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to his glorious riches, to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in the inner man. Dunamis sphaia, two of my favorite Greek words, that you might be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit indwelling the inner man. Ephesians 3:17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, agricultural analogy, being rooted and grounded in unconditional love, Ephesians 3:18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, with all believers in Christ, four things: how broad, how long, how high, and how deep, the breadth, the length, the height and the depth, how long, how wide, how long, how high, how deep, what? And to know the unconditional love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. That's what is meant by the sphere of love and the sphere of grace. And you can picture the geodesic dome at Disney World. And a geodesic dome, which is a big structure made with triangles, has the most surface area that you can possibly have in a particular confined space. The height, the length, the depth and the breadth. I didn't get those waves correct. But that's what God's love is. God's love, that unconditional love, completely surrounds you. And it's amazing. Why? Ephesians 3:19. To know the unconditional love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And I can admit all the stupid times that I have had as a Christian. And one of the stupidest times I have ever had as a Christian comes back to me on a regular basis. I used to work for a company, and one of the ladies that worked for this company also was a former nun. And so we were talking one time, and I said, you know, God's point of contact with us is justice. And she looked at me like I had violated her somehow. She looked at me and she said, that is disgusting to me. She said, that is so totally false. And this is one of the meekest people that you would ever meet. So she would never ever confront anybody like this. She says, that is so totally false. I said, what do you mean? She said, God's point of contact with us is love. You know, at the time, I knew everything. So, yeah, whatever. Whatever. You know, touchy-feely. Yeah. Yeah, God loves us. No, God is the God of justice, right or wrong. And if you're wrong, you're going to hell. Yeah, it's not exactly that way, is it? Yeah, so there was one little detail that I missed. Unconditional. Yeah, God's point of contact with us is love. That's all he thinks about in the matter of us is love. He loves us. We do the stupidest, we do things that offend ourselves, right? I will never do that. And then we do it. And then just inside of us, that warm feeling goes through us like, oh, man, I just violated myself. And he says, God, I love you. You know, it's like you can totally understand mothers. You know, right after their kid killed 5,000 people. Ma'am, your child killed 5,000 people. What do you think about that? He's a good boy. Oh, my God. Your son's a mass murderer, ma'am. What do you think about that? I love him. I love mothers. That is so awesome. That's the way God is with us. He just thinks we hung the moon. And it's so easy to forget that. It's so easy to focus on our sins and on what we did right and what we did wrong and what we failed at. That's one of the things that I just am amazed at in my consulting practice, is how many people are just obsessed with how negative it is to fail. And how I'm always telling them, you failed? That's good. Good first step. Let's go. Do it some more. 10 more failures, and then we'll talk about what we learned. And when we fail, God just looks at us and says, I love you. Come on back. Let's go do it again. Here's what Christian author Max Lucado has to say about God's love. He says that God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. Because he wants you to be just like Jesus. We already are. We're in union with Christ. Feel good today on Valentine's Day. Feel good the next time you look at a cross. Because it's a reminder that you are loved by God. When the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel message. For the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Psalm 62:1, my soul waits in silence for the Lord only, for in him is my salvation. Acts 2:21, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord Jesus Christ is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of, but is patient toward all mankind, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to a repentance, which is a change of mind about wanting to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Closing song, demonstrated love.
God's love, a love that meets our deepest needs, a perfect love that's unconditional. The Savior came to set us free so we could see his love. He demonstrated love. that's never wavered love. He demonstrated love, uncomplicated love that came to save us on the cross. Christ demonstrated undying love. He came from heaven in humility, as fully God and fully man, to show us love so kind and gentle, unfailing from the great I am. So we'd understand his love, he demonstrated love, pure and that's never wavered love. He demonstrated love, uncomplicated love that came to save us on the cross. Christ demonstrated, for God so loved the world, he sent his uniquely born son, that who
decided those are not songs, those are infections, right? So all day I'm gonna be love. Stop, make it stop. Once I get one of her songs in my head, I cannot get it out. It is so awesome. And that's the one, if you want an infection, that's the infection you want to have, to know that you are loved and that God didn't make you figure it out that he loves you. He demonstrated it by going to a cross, and that's what we celebrated today in the Lord's Supper. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we just have so much joy in our hearts knowing how much you care for us. And if only any part of us could just love you back that much, it would be so amazing. We just thank you so much for everything that you've given us, and all the things you bring to us, the suffering, all the things you bring into our lives to do exactly what you want to do with us, which is to lead us to salvation and to lead us to glory. And we just pray that we can be bold enough to accept what you've given us and then to share it with other people, not in some uptight form, but just in a very relaxed and matter-of-fact way as a gift. And let God the Holy Spirit take over and do all the evangelizing and bring people to the salvation that is free of charge with no works necessary. We thank you for that. And we pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of you. And we ask this through the the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.